Good morning, and we are glad you're here. Welcome to Cornerstone. This dreary day this morning, a little bit rain, kind of cloudy, but every day's a good day in the Lord. Amen. We got the lights down, kind of dim, so you guys can worship. Don't be afraid to raise your hands. We can't really see you that good, so would you stand with us as we worship this morning?
Thank you.
Seated, take a moment to greet someone, shake their hand, give them a hug, tell them you're glad to see them.
Good morning. How's everybody this morning? A little bit darker in here this morning, a little bit of a more of a mood. I don't know about you all, but I've been told I look better in the dark than I do with a lot of light on me. Well, it's good to have you here with us this morning. It's a little bit rainy outside, cooled things off, and I hate to sound like an old farmer, but boy, we needed some rain, didn't we? So I'm glad we're here. I'm glad you all are here. I want to take a moment to look at these announcements. We'd like for everybody coming with us to enjoy and celebrate the 4th of July here at Cornerstone. It's the birthday, Cornerstone style, if you want to come with us. And we're going to be passing out flags and decorate wagons and things like that and passing out water bottles here at the church. So look at that. Cornerstone will be opening up the clothes closet on July the 12th from 2 to 6. So if anybody would like to help with that, or if they have any needs or anything, or if they know somebody with needs, make sure that we get them here to share with them, okay? During our morning services on July the 13th, we'll be doing a baby dedication. So that's always a special time for all of us as a church family, so you know, try to make that. The community garden is needing weeding. Now, somebody said they thought that was a wedding. No, it's not a wedding, it's a weeding. And does anybody here know what weeding is? It looks like that's where they went and planted weeds, because that's what's over there. So if you'd like to be a part of the community garden and you don't mind pulling a few weeds and throwing them and stuff like that, and there'll be no smoking of the weeds too, okay? So we're going to throw them out there and run over them with a lawnmower. So some of you all kind of settle down a little bit on that idea. Okay, during the summer months, we're not going to be having our first Wednesday service because life gets busy during the summertime. It really does. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of activities and vacations and things like that. So we're not going to be having that. Just want to let everybody know we did have the first annual shoot and cue yesterday at Cody's house, and it was a lot of fun. And for you men that did not come out and share with us, we wish you were there. We had a good time, but, you know, if you weren't there, our chances of winning was better, okay? So, we had some barbecue chicken, had some good time, and we actually was there at nearly 8 o'clock last night, weren't we? But it was a good time for all. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we are here this morning and we share in your word and share in fellowship with each other. We pray that you would prepare our minds and prepare our hearts to hear your word and to take this and grow closer to you. Lord, we want to go out and do the work and make disciples of more and grow closer to you at each day. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Just stand as we continue to worship this morning.
Be on. Swag.
34, verses 1 through 3. It says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Would y'all exalt him with us? thank you for this time of worship. We exalt you, Lord. We lift you high above all other gods. We praise you with everything we have. Thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus, and the price he paid for us. Thank you for your grace. We ask that you would open our hearts this morning to receive the messages that you've given Mike, Lord, that it would draw us closer to you. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Series called Happily Ever After, and we're talking about expectations and marriage and how life is not always a fairy tale. In most fairy tales and most Disney movies, you see that same predictable format, right? That the princess goes looking for her Prince Charming, and she's looking for this guy that is just good looking and strong and knows exactly what to say, and yet is tender and compassionate and loves puppy dogs. All right. I mean, it's like this picture, they're running through fields of flowers waiting for a guy just to ride up on a shining horse. And yet we know that in real life, Prince Charming usually looks and smells more like Shrek than Prince Charming. Am I right? And so what I want to do this morning is really one of those messages that I've been dreading for a while. Can I just be honest? Man, I usually don't get nervous when I preach, but I've like been in a knot about this message for several weeks. Now, as soon as we put it on the calendar, I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be interesting. Because it is really hard for me as a man to share a message with the ladies. And this morning, I'm going to be speaking to the wives and talking about how to be encouraging. And here's the thing, guys. I'm just going to tell you now. It is in your best interest to keep your mouth shut. No elbows. No rolling of the eyes. You just better hush it, because you're going to get yours next week, okay? And whatever you dish out this week, you'll get back next week. I'm just going to tell you, that's the way it works. And next week is going to be a message to the men. And I've got 6 points to share today. I've got like 12 next week. So just get ready. I just say that kind of in jest, but in all seriousness, this is a tough topic for me to preach on. Because I want to honestly look at what the Bible has to say versus what the culture has to say, and I want to encourage you to live in the freedom that comes from obedience to God's word. And that's what's really tough. Again, God's plan for marriage, it's easy to summarize. One man, one woman for life, and that's the way that God intended. But yet we live in a broken world. And so we live in a world where divorce is rampant. We see abuse. We see neglect. We see abandonment. We see unfaithfulness. And we see the effects that has on the family. And so I stand up here knowing that I'm speaking to a room full of people, many of whom have been through experiences in your life that have scarred you and that have hurt you. And I want you to know that even though we live in this broken world, that through Christ we have healing, we have forgiveness, we have a new start. So wherever you're at in life, and whether you're single or divorced or happily married or unhappily married, this message, I want you to listen to it, because there's something there for everyone. It's not just to the married women. It's really for all of us to learn and think about how we relate to each other. And here's what I want you to know. God knows what he's talking about. He wants the best for his children. Do you agree with that? That God wants what is best for you. And we find that when we go to God's word and we start living life as he commands. And so here's the thought that I want to start off with this morning. And ladies, you may not realize this, but here's what I want you to think about. You are incredibly powerful in the life of your husband. Okay, wives, think about that for a minute. You are incredibly powerful in the lives of your husband. In fact, I would go so far to say that for the average man, no one's opinion of him matters as much as his wife's. Do you agree with that? And that's why this message is so important. Here's what I want you to realize. If you want a better, more loving husband, you really have two choices. One way is that you can just nag him and you can show disrespect to him and you can just stay on him all the time. And I guarantee one thing, you're not going to get the results you expect, right? And maybe you've tried that. The other way, and the second way, which is I think is the biblical way, is to encourage your husband to be a better man by showing him respect. And what I want to do today is talk about how you can be an encourager. I want to give you some practical ways you can encourage your husband. And you may or you may not have what I would call the spiritual gift of encouragement. Some people just naturally, they just naturally encourage everybody around them. It doesn't matter. I mean, they look at anybody and they automatically see something in that person they can just bring out and encourage. And that may not be you. You may struggle in this area, but you are still called to show encouragement to others. And I want, you may have to work at it, but I really want to show you some ways this morning you can do that. And a wife, again, is the most powerful person in her husband's life. And you have a great opportunity to encourage your husband toward godliness through your words, through your actions, and through your body language. And here's why. You know everything about your husband, good and bad. And when you encourage him, guess what? He knows if you're being serious or not. He knows if you're being authentic or if you're just saying something because you want something in return. You know everything about your husband, good and bad. And if you're, and unfortunately, I think many women think that if you're a critic and you point out all the things that need improving and you point out all the things that need changing, then that's really encouraging your husband. And I want you to realize that if your husband, if that's the type of environment that's in your home, then he's going to be tempted to cover up his problems, to not bring them out, to not talk about them, to not discuss them, because he doesn't need another critic in his life. And so everything for a man, I love what Emerson Eggerich says. He wrote a book, I've talked about it before, called Love and Respect. And in that book, he says a woman's greatest need in life is to feel loved. And he bases this on Ephesians 5:33, which we'll be reading in a few minutes. But he said a woman's greatest need is to feel loved. And that's kind of the foundational need in her heart, that she needs to feel loved. But for a man, it's different. For a man, he knows that he's loved. But what a man's greatest need is to feel respected. And you see this, right? When two guys meet each other for the first time, what do you do? What do you do for a living? You know, I mean, it's automatically. And then it's that you know, they want to feel respected. They want to feel respected for what they do, not just for who they are. And so for guys, this issue of respect, it runs deep. And so we've got to address that. This morning, here's what I want to do. I want to take you through six ways you can encourage your husband. And if you're taking notes, you can write it on your worship guide. If you're following along on YouVersion, on the Bible app, you can. It's in there as well. But the first thing is simply this, and it goes back to that foundational need of a man, is I want to ask that you respect him. You just simply respect your husband. And we need to know what a word means before we can start to practice it, right? To respect. What does it mean? It means to notice, to regard, to honor, to prefer, to defer to encourage, to love, and to admire. That's a mouthful. And let me say it again. To notice, to regard, to honor, to prefer, to defer to encourage, to love, and to admire. And so let me just ask you, can you think of somebody that you respect in life? And let me just ask the ladies, do you respect your husband? And now, this is where you really find out what I mean by this. Would your husband agree with that? If you asked your, if I went to your husband and says, does your wife respect you? How would he answer? And this is where it gets a little sticky, right? This is where it gets a little tense. Because even in good marriages, there's tension there. Even in good marriages, there's conflict. What we've called before intense fellowship between husband and wife. You know what I'm talking about here? I mean, and so if I asked your wife, if I asked the husband, does your wife respect you, would he agree with what you said? Because I think if you're honest with yourself and if you're human, you would agree with me and you would probably say that you have room to grow in this area of respect. Ephesians 5, you've got your Bibles. We started in Ephesians 5 last week, and I'm going to jump ahead to verse 21 this morning. And again, Ephesians, the first half of it, lays out this doctrinal truth for the believers. And then Paul moves into, this is how it plays out in your everyday life. This is the practical application of what I've just taught you. And in Ephesians 5:21, he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So we see that there's a relationship between a husband and wife here that he's getting ready to explain. And he goes and he talks to wives first. And he said in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. And now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives to submit to their husbands in everything. Okay, you can see why I'm a little nervous about this, right? You can see, I mean, this is not like a popular message. I mean, this is the type of stuff that people would post in the paper and say, you know, the society we live in today views something like this as antiquated, as not applicable to our life today. But I want you to understand something. I think submission is often a misunderstood word for both men and for women. The culture's lie is that a woman's worth decreases when she submits to her husband. The truth of the Bible is that a woman's value does not increase or decrease if she submits, because her value is based, and her value, it comes from being created in the image of God. And when you think about that, our value comes not from what we do, rather it comes from who we are in Christ. And so a husband and a wife are of equal value before God because we are both created in God's image. But it is not rocket science to say that men and women are different and that God has created us with different roles and different responsibilities, and he has created structure and order. And if you keep reading in verse 25 through 32, you see there is a long, long passage here to men. That is very detailed in what a man's responsibilities are. But this section is kind of wrapped up. You know, it starts in verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And we see there's a relationship between a man and a wife. We read the verses to the wives, then the verses to the husbands, and then the section is wrapped up in verse 33. And in verse 33, it says this, however, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And so what we see submit out of reverence to Christ. That kind of starts it off. And then to end it, it says the husband is called to love his wife and the wife is called to respect her husband. And so we see this inside of this idea of mutual submission, that the husband is called to love his wife, the wife is called to respect her husband, and we see this connection between respect and submission. And I think this is so important for us. The dictionary defines submit as to yield or surrender to the will or authority of another. And I think there's kind of two things about submission that I've got to point out. One is submission is voluntary. It's not forced. I can't make my wife submit to me. And in fact, that would be crazy to even try. There are many ways that you can force people to obey, but true submission is an attitude that comes from the heart. And when I fulfill my role as a husband, my wife wants to follow my leadership. And so what we see, it's not a forced submission. And in the marriage relationship, I cannot demand that my wife submit. And if men, if you're trying to do that, you have missed the whole point of this passage. And I'll get to that next week. And I want you to understand this, though. What Paul was, you know, what he was instructing, though, he was instructing the wives. This is this idea of respect. This idea of respect. So if you respect your husband, you're willing to follow him because you know that he cares about you. You know that you are loved. And so we see again this beautiful picture of marriage, that a husband loves his wife. He's willing to do anything for her. He's willing to lay down his life for her, just as Christ laid down his life for us. And we see that sacrificial love of a husband. And then in return, we see the respect that the wife shows back. So the first thing I want to ask that you do is to simply respect your husband. The second thing kind of builds right off on it. And it's that the Bible tells us that you need to build him up. The biblical word for this is edify, right? That we to edify, build up one another. And this is so important. And sometimes I admit here, I find myself overhearing conversations between ladies. And I'm not really eavesdropping, but sometimes you just walk by and you hear a conversation. And so many times, the object of the conversation is the woman's husband. And I just hear one woman to another woman talking about everything bad about their husband. And I wish that I could say that this, you know, doesn't happen very often, but it happens all the time. And I hear a lady, you wouldn't believe my husband. Yeah, I can't go here. I can't do that. And they're just running their husbands down in front of other people. It's one of the most uncomfortable things for me, right? Because you don't want to like butt in and say, wait a minute, do you realize what you're doing here? Do you realize the damage that is taking place in this conversation? Instead of encouraging and building up your spouse, you're tearing them down. And ladies, here's what I want you to know. Your husband, he needs you. He doesn't need you to condemn him. Satan already has. He doesn't need you to criticize him. His enemies are already doing that. Society is already doing that. They just want to know that they're not alone and that you are there to partner with them through this thing called life. And so it's so important that we build up. Now, there's a series of verses in Proverbs, and I debated about sharing these with you. This is where I may get myself in trouble. But I actually shared one of these as part of a wedding ceremony, and it actually worked. I couldn't believe that. In Proverbs, there's a whole series of verses about women who don't build up, okay? This is what it says in Proverbs 21:9. Okay, guys, don't write these down. Just put your head down. It is better to live in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. Whew. Okay, it gets better. 27:15, a continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. Drip, 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 right? I mean, it starts off kind of small, but over time you're like, it's driving me crazy. 21:19. It is better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and a fretful woman. Okay, it keeps going. 25:24. It is better to live in the corner of the housetop again than a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. And 19:13. A foolish son is ruin to his father, and a wife's quarreling is a continual dripping of rain. Okay. You ask me, okay, Mike, why did you share those things? You see, there's a pattern that's taking place here. When there's conflict and where there's quarrel and where there's arguing, what happens in a relationship? The husband wants to get away. Whether it's the roof of the house, whether it's the desert, he is going to find somewhere to get away because it's just unhealthy. And so what you see is that if you constantly argue with your husband, it will drive you apart. You're called to build him up, not to tear him down. And here's what happens when you talk your husband down in front of others, especially if he's present. I hate seeing this take place in marriages. When a wife, and it goes in reverse as well. If a husband runs his wife down, it does the same thing. But when a wife runs her husband down to her friends and to other people, you put the husband in a lose-lose situation. There's no way he can win. There's no way that he can come out of it. You really put him in a lose-lose situation. Here's what I mean by that. What if he responds to you, he comes off looking like a bully. He comes off looking like he's mean, and then you're either going to cry and humiliate him further, or it falls apart from there. You put him in that situation where if he responds and says anything back to you, that he just comes off looking like a jerk. And the other thing he can do is he can just say nothing, just ignore it and just go along. And what you've done is you've just emasculated him in front of his friends. He becomes weak. He just sits there and thinks, I have no respect, and now in public I'm getting run down. It's a lose-lose situation. This is why it's so important to build up your husbands. If we back up to the passage in Ephesians 5 I read last week in verse 1 and 2, let me read that again to you. It says, imitate God, or follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. And imitate God. You live like God, right? You live like Jesus. He's our example. And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave up himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. And now get this verse, verse 3 and 4. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. We talked about that last week. Or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Now get this. This verse 4, I think, is what we typically, just automatically when we read it, we think about men, but it applies to women too. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. And so what we see in this, there's no foolish talk. There's no coarse talk. There's no running others down. We're called to build each other up. And if you're here this morning and you say, there's really nothing I respect about my husband, you've got some praying to do, and you've got some thinking to do. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. You can kind of develop new habits of being thankful, of new habits of thankfulness. And what I want you to do is read Philippians 4:8. I want you to remember that no one has a perfect husband. There is no Prince Charming. Right? Everybody is a sinner. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have our faults and imperfections. There is not a perfect person in this room. And so what we have to do, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, I can't really think of what to be thankful for about my husband. I can't think of how to encourage him. Read this verse. Whatever is true. Is there anything true about your husband? Whatever is noble. Is there anything noble about your husband? Whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. Think through that verse. Get out a journal. Write it down. And really think, how can I encourage my husband? How can I build him up? What are the things in his life? And if he's not spiritually mature, if you've got issues there, there's got to be something that you saw in him at some point in your relationship. How can you build him up? How can you build them up? And it may be a text message. You just think of something, you just text it to them. Maybe an email. Maybe a letter. Whatever it is, how can you build him up? You remember last week I said that our culture feeds us the lie. If we are not happy, then it means we haven't found the right person. So we just dump that person and we find the next. But God's word is different. It tells us that instead of finding the right person, we have to become the right person. And what I want to challenge you to do is, how can you be an encourager? How can you build up your husband? So the first thing we do, we respect him. The second thing, we build him up. The third thing, we spend time with him. We spend time with him. And what I mean by this is, what does your husband like to do? Can you find ways to enter into his life and what he enjoys doing? And this is where guys and girls are a little different. Guys, we can go and hang out for hours and not say a word. Right? We can go sit beside each other, and at the end of the day, we say, man, that was awesome. I love that. Thanks for hanging out with me, bro. You know, and there's just that connection. I mean, you just do, and it doesn't, and it may be sitting, you know, out in the woods hunting. It may be going out. It may be on the golf course. It may be whatever. And I just want to challenge you as wives, how can you spend time with your husband? You don't have to talk the whole time. Just enter into his world. It may be sitting on the couch beside of him while he's watching a football game. But if you're there and he knows that you care about him and that you just want to be close to him, that is so powerful in a marriage. That's encouraging. This to know that he's not annoying you at the moment. Guys, you ever feel that way? That just sometimes you just annoy your wife? But when she comes and just spends time with you, you realize real quickly that, man, when my wife comes and sits down with me, what I realize is that I'm more important than the house. I'm more important than the dishes. I'm more important than her friends on the phone. That she would rather be with me than anything else. Man, it encourages me. It lifts me up. It gives me, man, it just makes me happy to know that my wife wants to be with me. That she doesn't just love me, but that she likes me. And so that's important that we spend time together. The fourth thing, and this is even, this is an important one here, is that you pray with him. And you pray with him. Prayer, it softens our hearts. It softens your husband's heart. And what it does, it teaches us to trust God. It teaches us to put our faith in God. It refocuses us from our problems, which seem so big at times, and makes us focus on the God who's bigger than any of the problems we face in life. If you only pray for your husband to change, here's the problem. You won't see your own sin too. And so it's important that when we pray together. You pray for God to examine your heart as well as your husband. It teaches you that dependence. And I can tell you this, and I speak from experience. When you are prayed for, it makes you feel respected as a man. When I know that my wife is praying for me, when she sees that I'm discouraged, when she sees that I'm frustrated, when she sees that, I'm one of those, and sometimes I think what wives do, they look and they think that, okay, you know, my husband's grumpy. I must have done something to make him that way. Do we have any ladies in here that kind of take that responsibility? They think, you know, they look at other people's attitudes and think they caused it. Well, here's the reality. Most of the time when I'm grumpy, it's because I need something to eat. It's not because of anything Jennifer's done. It's just because I'm hangry. You know, I just need some food in me, and then I'll cheer up. And so, you know, if Jennifer, if she realizes that, she can feed me too. That works well, just praying for me, feed me. But if she prays for me, man, I just know, hey, she noticed. She cares about me. And let me just ask you this. Do you pray for your husband when he is sad, when he is upset, when he is stressed, when he is discouraged? Do you offer to pray with him out loud? And just be honest with yourself. When was the last time you prayed for your husband? And not only that, when was the last time you prayed with your husband? When was the last time you prayed with him? You see what prayer does? It helps us to grow in our relationship with Jesus. And as we grow together, and I used that illustration of the triangle that last week and kind of the solid foundation in our relationships, the spiritual foundation. And as we grow closer to God, what naturally happens is that we grow closer to each other in marriage. And when we pray, it brings us closer to God. It brings us closer to each other. And it is so important. It is so powerful. And so what prayer does, it keeps that order in life that we need. Ladies, you are called to be a godly woman first, then a godly wife, and then a godly mother, and then a godly friend. And if we switch the order of that around, and you get anything in front, or switch things out of order, what we see then is we see problems. And what prayer does, it keeps us grounded. It keeps that order right, where you're a godly woman first, then a godly wife, and then a godly mother, and then a godly friend. And your husband needs to know that. So pray with your husband. The fifth thing is that you're called to serve with him. Man, this has been so powerful in my life that through the years, my wife and I, we have served together in church. And whether it was in youth ministry, whether it was on mission trips, there is just something sexy about seeing your wife serve Jesus. I'm just going to say it. When you see your wife serving Jesus and serving others, man, that just brings us closer. To see my wife's compassion in her heart to serve. I love that. When I see spiritual growth in my wife, it excites me. It excites me to see what God is doing in her life. And the reverse is true as well. She gets excited when she sees me grow. Because as we grow spiritually, our marriage simply gets better and better and better. Last year we were able to go to Nicaragua as an entire family together. Incredible experience. Just to go as the whole family, my kids, my wife, all of us together, and to serve alongside each other. And we still have conversations about the things that we saw and we experienced together. So if you're not doing that now, let me just encourage you to serve together as a family. The last one here, and these are all kind of, you kind of take these all collectively, but I just want to encourage you to let them lead. In 1 Peter 3, we see another passage that talks to wives about submission, about respect. And it says, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, that they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and the reverence of your lives." And the reality is, I think God has wired women to nurture and to correct behavior so that they can be great mothers. And I see that, and that's wonderful. But those same traits that make you a wonderful mother can cause serious harm in a marriage. When you try to get your husband to change behavior by telling him everything he's done wrong, it's so easy to hear that as disrespect, as that nagging. And that only makes things worse. And so I want to just challenge you to let your husband be the leader that God called him to be. In the book Real Marriage, this is what Mark Driscoll's wife said. She wrote about this idea. She said, "I wasn't encouraging him toward what God had, but demanding what I wanted him to be and do. I found that once I started praying for him and praying for God to reveal my own heart, God gave me a tenderness and patience toward my husband, Mark. I also started to see my own sins instead of just focusing on his all the time. And I was convicted to work on those. The Bible says it is God's kindness that leads us to repentance. So we need to follow that example of kindness with our husbands. If they have unrepentant sin that needs to be addressed, we need to invite them toward change through our encouraging words and actions rather than demanding change and disrespecting them." The reality is, so many men that I know have simply thrown in the towel. They're just kind of going through the motions in marriage. They've given up. They've decided that it's not worth conflict in their home. So instead of leading their families, they check out. They spend long hours at the office. They find excuses not to come home. And what happens over time is that the husband and the wife grow apart. Their kids grow up. They leave home. The husband and wife look at each other and they realize they don't even know each other. Why do you think you see so many divorces happen around the 20-year mark in marriage? Because over time, the husband and the wife have grown apart. And they wake up and realize they really don't know each other anymore. This is why it's so important. And next week, I'm talking to the husbands. The week after that, I'm talking about issues like parenting and finances and things that really can cause conflict in marriage and how we can keep from growing apart over time. And so all of these things, these six things, man, are ways to encourage your husband. I even give you a bonus one. I didn't put a blank for this. This is free. And this is for the husbands here. Go to bed early. That's the last one. That's all I'm going to say. Just go to bed early. You can figure it out from there. You want to encourage your husband? There you go. Six things and a seventh bonus one, just for the guys, okay? You can thank me later. I'll take cash, check, money order. Okay. Brownies. There you go. Wow. So this morning, hopefully, I hope it's been encouraging to you ladies as well. I hope you don't feel beat up or condemned. I want to see marriages grow stronger. And so the Bible provides principles for how wives can encourage and respect their husband. It really doesn't give a lot of methods, but you have to figure out how can I be encouraged. And you can ask other women, you can read books, you can learn ways to encourage. But here's what I want to tell you. The best way to find out how to encourage your husband is to ask him and to talk and to communicate. And if you take nothing else from this message, I want you to have a healthy relationship between a husband and a wife so that you can talk through conflict, so that you can discuss, so that you can pray together, you can study the Bible together, you can talk, you can resolve conflict. And when your kids see that even, do you know how powerful that is to see a godly example for what it means to realize that we're not perfect, but that we can work through problems together? This is why this message is so important. This message can be a starting point to help you start, to have a new start in your marriage. And if you're not married, hopefully it will give you a chance to understand what marriage really is and not some unrealistic fairy tale depiction and give you hopes that aren't real. I tell you, when you start communicating, you may hear things that may hurt a little bit. But if you can work through them and you learn how to communicate, you will walk towards the oneness that Scripture talks about. You can have that new start and that new beginning. As we close this morning, the band's going to come back up. And I just want to give you a chance to think about a new start in your marriage, a new start in your life. So if you would you guys just bow your heads for a moment? I want you to prayerfully just to spend some time talking to God right now. And think about what needs to change in your life. And again, this is not just for the ladies. This men, hopefully, as I spoke today, you realize some things that need to change in your life as well. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can open your word. And even though it's tough sometimes, I know, Lord, that you have called us to become one in our marriages. And that's not always easy. We know that there will be conflict and struggle. But, Lord, I'm thankful that your word gives us a blueprint for how we can handle that. It's called forgiveness, and it's called repentance. And so that when we confess our sins, we confess our shortcomings, your word tells us that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we can have a new start. So I pray for the marriages in this room. And if they're struggling, may today be the day that completely changes the rest of your life. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen the marriages in this room, that you would prepare those who aren't married, that if they do get married, that they would be able to understand what a godly relationship looks like. Lord, I pray for the people in this room, just that as we talk about things like marriage, that they would realize that you have called us, you are drawing us to grow closer to you through everything in life, through every situation, through every trial, through every hardship, through every success, through every celebration, Lord, that we can grow closer to you. And so this morning, I pray that we can leave this place encouraged. I pray that the wives will be better encouragers to the husbands. I pray that the husbands will be more loving to their wives. And Lord, through all of this, the end result is that you will be glorified through our marriages. That people will be able to see Jesus through us. That's our hope, and that's our prayer this morning in this place. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as we close out this morning, guys, here's what I want to invite you to do. Maybe there's a prayer request that you have, and I just encourage you to write it down on one of the communication cards. And you can drop those in the offering box. You can hand them to me. We'll be praying for them this week. If there's a commitment that you need to make, it, maybe you're here this morning, you say, I need a new start. I need to put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. If that's the case, then you're invited to do that right now. We'll pray with you. We'll talk with you. We'll answer any questions you have. Maybe it's just to say, pray for my marriage. It's not perfect, and we need help. Whatever it is, I just want to encourage you to just be faithful to God, to put your faith in Him, to trust Him this morning. Would you guys stand as we close this morning?
Yourself to me.
worship you in all that we do, in our everyday lives, Lord, in our relationships. Draw us closer to you, closer to our spouses, those around us, those other relationships that we have, Lord. Help us keep you first. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and have a great week.